Please turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. It's found on page 1118 of the Bibles provided there in your rows. This is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount and then the response of the people. So let us give our attention to the reading and hearing of God's Word from Matthew chapter 7. We read, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. I've entitled this morning's sermon, "Would You Rather?" I don't know how many of you have ever played that game before. Some people really like it, and they enjoy coming up with all sorts of crazy scenarios of what would you rather do. Usually it involves eating something disgusting or going through some sort of bodily harm and seeing which is it. And there's a sense in which, in the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the implication of his conclusion is, would you rather? Would you rather have a house built on a solid foundation, or would you rather have a house built on an inadequate one? So let's put it by way of a living example. Would you rather live in the Tower of Pisa, which was built in 1173? It's a 183-foot tall tower that has a poorly laid foundation and loose subsoil. It moves at roughly 1/20th of an inch per year, and it's 17 feet out of plumb because of the weak foundation of the soil, as well as having an inadequate foundation. The plus side is you're living in history, you're living in Italy, but one day it could all come crashing down. Or would you rather, say, for example, live in the Cheyenne Mountain, a base that was built during the time of the Cold War, that is a complex that is self-sufficient and self-contained beneath the Rockies, intended to remain completely impervious to nuclear attack. Bunkers are 2,000 feet below the Rocky Mountains and can withstand 30 megaton nuclear blasts. What would you prefer? Jesus is giving us, in his conclusion, the "would you rather," as it were. What would you rather your life be like? How would you like for it to be identified? In relation to the entirety of his sermon, he's presented then his teaching, his authoritative teaching regarding Holy Scripture. And as he said it for them in relation to their life lived out in accordance with the Word of God, he then begins to note by way of comparison, either you will have a life that's rooted on a firm foundation or a weak one. Either your life will manifest good fruit or poor fruit. Either your life will be on the broad way or on the narrow way. Jesus then is noting by way of illustration through this conclusion that it basically comes down to two people with two portions that ultimately then yield forth in two promises. And so I ask you, which person, which portion, and which promise would you rather have? Let's look at what Jesus says. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken to him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, versus the one who hears this and doesn't do them to be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. There are interesting similarities between these two individuals. There isn't anything that you would necessarily look at in relation to these two people that Jesus talks about here and would conclude, oh, this individual is an outstanding, upright person, and this one is a God-hating, God-cursing individual that no one would want to be around. In some respects, these individuals are similar. They both take to building a house. They both have noted that they live in the same area. Both go through difficulties and challenges. It just really comes down to the difference of the foundation. One decided that they didn't want to take the time in order to find, to dig down, as Luke brings out in Luke chapter 6, to dig down to the rock and set the house. So they skip that step to simply find a place that looks all level and okay in their opinion. And they then begin erecting their place of residence. These houses are put in an area that was some sort of dry bed, probably in a valley near a stream. Some of those streams might have even been dried up. But in the land of Israel, these dry creek beds can become violent streams because the weather can change and all of a sudden a torrential rain or downpour might appear and it immediately alters the landscape. And consequently, because of the event, the test, the rains and the flood, the one house rooted on the firm foundation stands, the other, built on shifting sand, falls. How ought we then understand these foundations? Well, let's look at the positive foundation first. The foundation that is right or is on the rock. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 that no other foundation can be laid than that which is Jesus Christ. And the author of Hebrews tells us that it is in that foundation we have a hope as an anchor for our soul, which is sure and steadfast. What are we understanding by this? Ultimately, this foundation hears what Christ has said, and in particularly this message about Christ, and rightly understands that there is no hope and no strength and no foundation that this one may have in and of himself or anything else other than in the promised one of Jesus Christ. This one rightly hears the issue of sin, rightly hears the struggles that exist internally by nature, as well as the imperfections lived out in thought, word, and deed, and cries out before the living God to then say, "Please receive me through your Son." This one recognizes that the only foundation that will stand is the perfect life of Jesus Christ, as well as his perfect death yielded before God to turn his wrath against sin. This is the message of Christ. This is the firm foundation that is laid. This is the testimony that the Apostle Peter gives in 1 Peter chapter 2, when he says that we come to him as living stones being built up as a spiritual house, a royal priesthood. And then he says this, I lay in Zion a chief stone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. He is the chief cornerstone. You see, this foundation that is laid is rooted in Jesus Christ. It's one that is precious. It's one that must be heard. Well, what does this look like? How does this look in relation to the one who's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ? It doesn't mean that this one then is perfect, because their perfection is only found in Jesus Christ. They still note that there is the struggle that is found against sin. And yet they would cry out with the Apostle Paul that even though there are things that I do, I don't want to do them. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I give thanks to my God who gives me the victory through Jesus Christ. And so this one then seeks to be like Christ. He seeks to be formed and fashioned after him in relation to his thoughts, his words, his actions. This one's heart desire is to see how they may please God in terms of their actions, not to earn the favor of God, but to celebrate what God has given them through Jesus Christ. As they follow after their Lord and deny themselves by taking up their cross, they then delight to do the will of God, as Jesus confessed in John chapter 4. And they would cry out with Paul and the other saints that it is in the Lord that is their true joy. And so they rejoice in the Lord always. Again, they rejoice. They see their standing and their hope, not in themselves, but in being united to Jesus Christ and seeing His work yield forth in their life by the Holy Spirit, so that as they hear the Word of God, they also delight to be a doer of that Word. They recognize that because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then no salvation can be had for them outside of Him. They believe on Him, and they seek then to glorify Him in all things. This is the person whose life is founded on this rock that Jesus speaks of. But you have this other individual who hears Jesus' words, but he builds on sand. As I mentioned a moment ago, he's not one who is outrightly denying God. There are many good things that this one may be doing in their life. Remember, Jesus spoke against the Pharisees in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. And what did he speak regarding their life? They prayed, they fasted, they gave. Why? So they could be seen. This one who's separate from Christ, who has just built on a weak foundation, is simply desiring to be spiritual, but for a public show. They pray with their bodies, but not with their souls. With their mouths they worship God, but their hearts do not seek Him. They may at times speak orthodox words, but their thoughts do not have the words of Christ. Outwardly, they're kind, but inwardly, they're cruel. Outwardly, they say, be warmed and be filled. Inwardly, they long to steal even from that one and seek his demise. They can be friendly, nice, well-liked, moral, and happy. They're not necessarily bad people, bad individuals to be around. but they haven't come to understand true salvation in Jesus Christ. And they think that they can somehow have a standing in and of their own strength, their own life, their own efforts, and that God will somehow receive them and accept them. Which individual are you? Would you rather be the one who's rooted on Jesus Christ or the one who's resting in their own life and making their own efforts and putting forth their own thoughts and ideas? Wait before you answer. Because Jesus says that the storms will come. Two individuals built a house. The houses look very similar in a similar location. Both go through tests. The rains descend, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house. The Bible can use the language of testing and trials in a couple of different ways. For example, it could be the language of divine judgment, where we read, for example, in Hebrews 9, that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Ezekiel uses this illustration for the children of Israel in Ezekiel 13. But can also speak of the trials and tragedies of life, the difficulties that arise. And so as there are various portions that come before you, which would you rather have? What do you want to stand in? Where do you want your confidence to lie? Tests and difficulties do not come on pleasant summer days. They come when those summer days change to strong storms, where thunder and lightning occurs and the rains then just pour out from the heavens and the waters then begin to creep up and you wonder, is my sump pump going to last? Is the house going to hold up? Will the shingles on the roof remain or will I lose it all? Will that tree outside that has stood the storm so many times before, will it stand this time? It happens in the depths of winter. It's not the times in which you have sufficient health and everything's going okay and your future seems certain and secure. It happens as you go along and you show up to that doctor's appointment and the doctor says your blood work came back and you now have some fatal disease. It comes back when you receive the phone call that says your loved one is in the midst of passing from this life to the next. That unexpected phone call from a child that says, Mom, Dad, I'm not coming home. All my dreams have been found in this guy. It's when you're called into the boss's office and he says, guess what? Your 401k is gone. We didn't invest it well, and you've lost your job. Those types of trials and tragedies, those heartbreaks, those times in which you feel the sense of collapse, the dark, critical hours of life in which you feel overwhelmed, where then do you want your foundation to be? On your merits, on your efforts, on your strength? Or on Jesus Christ? One author noted, any creed or philosophy works when life is easy. What about when the storms of life arise? Or furthermore, at the end of life? Where is your foundation when you then would note that your life is coming to its end and you're lying on your bed and your eyes will then open or remain open for their last time? You leave this which is familiar and comfortable in what you know, to then cross a threshold to a place that is unknown. A place where you will stand face to face before Almighty God, and you will then hear the finality of your destiny. This God whom you stand before sees all, knows all, reads all, and discerns all. Where then do you want to be found? What portion would you like there? Would you rather stand before Him face to face on your own or in Christ? But notice then the two promises. The house did not fall that was built on the rock, but the house that was on the sand had a great fall. The two promises are this, that the wise stand, but the foolish falls. The wise stand, he didn't fall. The way in which Jesus worded this was that it expected, basically, that no one will ever stand, but people would then hear what he says and goes, I can't believe that this one actually remained. Why? Because this one had a house that was built to last. Why? Because this one's house was built with the future in mind. It was a life that had an eye toward eternity, not just simply the here and the now and the immediate. It's a life that recognizes that although I don't know how to build a life that is permanent and secure, Christ does and can, and so I look to Him. It's a life that is yielded to Jesus Christ. It submits to His commands and follows after Him. Notice what Jesus again says here. Whoever hears these sayings of mine. You cannot separate the words of Christ from Christ. When we hear Jesus' words, we hear Him. Because His words are a perfect expression of His character, His nature, His mind, His will. His words do not deceive. His words are ultimately the only rock and foundation for our life. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we'll be exploring this text more in a couple of weeks on Confirmation Sunday. Matthew 16, Jesus looks at His disciples and says, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the foundation of the confession that Peter has made. He says, Christ is the Son of the living God, and by implication, the only standing that I can have is in Him. And what does Jesus say back? Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The foundation that we have is in Jesus Christ. There is nothing else that will last. There is nothing else that will stand. The one who knows that only Christ can and does build a life of permanence eternally before God, only Christ gives hope, only Christ gives comfort, only Christ gives strength, only Christ gives direction. That one, as he looks unto Him, as we sing in that hymn, though all hell would endeavor to shake us from that very core and foundation, that one then is assured that God will never, never, never forsake them. And so the house stands. The house does at times need repairs. The individual falters and sins. The individual is imperfect as they follow Christ. The individual does not perfectly delight in the word and will of the Redeemer. But the individual knows that Christ comes along and forgives them and cleanses them and rebuilds their house and restores and make things well and whole. Jesus tells us, but the foolish fall. He doesn't reflect on what Jesus says. He forgets what he hears, or he at least listens selectively. This one wants to take shortcuts. I understand that God expects perfection, so I will attempt to bring it on my own. I understand that God is a holy God and I must have that before Him, but I'm just going to simply place my bet on His being loving and gracious. And He'll surely overlook all sorts of other things. This one isn't thinking about the future. Eat, drink, and be merry. There's no thought of the consequence. This one desires to govern him or herself and have immediate gratification for whatever may come their way. It seems pleasurable for the moment. It seems easy. Things seem to be okay. They're getting along. But one day, would you rather? Would you rather live your life now by your own thoughts and your own efforts and your own desires, knowing what Jesus says in relation to the consequence? The fall will be significant and great. Or would you rather live a life submitted to the living God, founded on Jesus Christ? He says the way is difficult. He says the way is narrow. The way is hard. The way isn't pleasant. The way isn't very well populated. But the way ends to life. This foundation rooted in Jesus Christ is also then rooted in a biblical view of what He has set forth in His sermon here. And although we have not covered it, he basically notes that this biblical view sees a denial of self to live before God as it is lived out in the world in accordance with the Word of God, according to the morality that God has established in our words and actions, governing our motives, dealing with those around us and the things in this world. What would you like set before you? At the beginning, we heard of two places to live. Ultimately, those two thoughts of where you may live is being set before you right now. Where do you want the foundation of your life to be? Resting in and of yourself, the consequences can be far great. Resting in Jesus Christ, the consequences are also far and great. But they're a different idea of greatness. Jesus challenges us accordingly. Let us reflect on what He says.